Yes, so here we are once again in the dark. And I will be 100% honest, I had no intention of actually recording another episode tonight, but inspiration hit and hit hard, so I decided to put this out. The inspiration came in the form of a couple of different things. First and foremost, I had the incredible opportunity to moderate three different online panels as part of the virtually prepared online gathering of like minds earlier today. And one was a panel with large attractions, one was a panel with haunted attractions, and one was a panel with vendors who supply materials to both of those, pretty much the entire seasonal entertainment industry. And it was, these panels were all focused on how COVID-19 has affected us and what, where we can go from here and what advice we have. And I got to say, in moderating all three of these panels, and hopefully some of you were listening, because it was great information. If not, they were recorded. And as soon as I find out exactly where they're going to be playing, I will share that on our Facebook group. But in listening to all of these industry professionals, it kind of came back to the same thing over and over again, and that is that we are going to have to continue to rethink the way we do business because the old ways are changing. Now, I'm old enough to remember this a couple of times. You know, there were some major changes that happened during the HIV AIDS scenario in the mid to late 80s. There was a huge change after 9/11, obviously, and this is another one of those reset moments. And during the course of the three different panels, I actually used the phrase, and I've used it a couple of times, but it really apparently hit home during the panel, and that is, don't panic, just pivot. And this hit a couple folks very impactfully, and so much so that I am now officially a meme, which I have now posted, of course, everywhere on social media, so you may have seen it already. Please forgive my own arrogance. It's just very exciting that I am a meme. And that meme was created by Spencer Terry and his team from Fear Factory SLC in Salt Lake City. So thank you for doing that. And yes, he posted it and I shared it every single place I could because I don't think I've ever been a meme before. And I'm very proud of that in my big boy self, in my own twisted and weird little way. But then I got to thinking about, you know, that phrase, don't panic, just pivot. And what does that mean? I think another one of the factors that made me inspired to record another episode this evening, and yes, I'm recording this at night, so this truly is a Scott in the Dark. I am sitting in my office with my little lamp light on and looking out into the darkness. And I'm thinking about a great many of my friends who, because of COVID-19, are either out of work, furloughed, reduced pay, reduced hours. There's a whole bunch of different things that have happened and happened, I don't want to say unexpectedly, but, you know, no one expects the Spanish Inquisition. And no one expects COVID-19. So, or expected COVID-19. So I think that, now please don't get upset because I know that there's somebody out there who's going to say, well, we knew about it for many years. I don't care. What I do care about is how it's affecting people now and how it's going to change the way the world and especially the world of entertainment exists and does business. It was just announced the day before the recording of this particular episode that SeaWorld Parks and Entertainment was furloughing 90% of its employees. And that's a pretty scary thing for people to all of a sudden realize, you know what, I have no checks and I have no insurance coverage until I get COBRA. And I have, you know, there's a whole bunch of weird things. And then, you know, if I get COBRA, where do I get the money for that? And there's a lot of people living paycheck to paycheck. And that combined with me and my news junkie quality, because I have been listening to the news over and over and over again, and I am not going to make this political. I am not, I promise. But the bottom line is there are people that I care about who are having challenges right now. And, you know, I may be included in that as well. We'll see how well I can heed my own advice and suggestions, but how that ends up working out. But there are companies, there are great companies out there who have continued to cover and pay for their employees, which if the companies have that kind of cash flow, that is great. There's things like, you know, Mark Cuban coming forward and basically saying that how companies treat their employees is going to affect their brand and their customers' brand loyalty for not years, but decades to come. And they have to make certain that they don't err on either side of the craziness, that they don't decide we've got to bring everybody back super fast, because the moment they do that and have one person who is a carrier of COVID-19, then they become, oh, the company that brought everybody back too soon. At the same time, they don't want to just abandon their employees for the almighty dollar, because then they become the company that abandoned their employees for the almighty dollar. So I think it is really important to kind of talk through what we can do. Because if you're like a couple of people that I've talked to, and I know I've been through times like this in my career as well, where you go through that moment of kind of feeling helpless and hopeless. It's like, what do I do now? And this particular episode of A Scott in the Dark is calling out to the haunters and the people in the seasonal entertainment industry. But I think it's a much broader audience than that. Because what I'm going to talk about today is the concept of don't panic, just pivot. And really what I mean by that is, you know, I mentioned it before when times we've had to rethink, or it's like hitting reset or rebooting your computer. You know, your computer is doing things the way it thought it was supposed to be doing it, and then all of a sudden you get the spinning wheel of death, and what do? You reboot, because you got to start over. You got to start afresh. Well, that's kind of what we're going through now, I think. We're going to have to rethink the way we're going to do things. And everybody says, well, once everything gets back to normal, well, I don't see it getting quote unquote back to normal. I see it going forward to a new normal. And I think that we have to accept that, be ready to embrace it, and if we're proactive, be ready to define it. Be ready to recognize what that new normal is going to be. What is it going to include? Now, I don't think anybody knows. Certainly when we were doing the panels this morning, I don't think anybody was confident enough to say, here's what I know is going to happen when the world aligns and COVID-19 is under control. And it will be under control. I mean, it will be under control, especially if you look at places like China, for example, which is already starting to reopen some of its businesses. It will come to fruition. It will go through its normal cycle. We just have to figure out how do we, A, come back from the devastation, and B, how do we make sure it doesn't come back again. Now, I am going to get up on my soapbox just a little bit here, you know, and I think some of you have heard me say this, or at the very least, seen me post it on social media. Basically, what this pandemic has taught us is listen to what your teachers told you when you were in kindergarten or first grade. Wash your hands, keep your hands to yourself, and don't pick your nose or touch your face. So it's pretty basic stuff. No one is asking us to go out in hazmat suits every time we go. We're not becoming Boy in the Plastic Bubble. And I'm probably the only one who's listening to this right now who's old enough to remember that. But anyway, you know, we don't have to do that. What we do have to do is, you know, have less human-to-human contact at the moment. And again, I truly believe that that will all come back. But when it does, we have to make sure that we continue to do the smart things, that we wash our hands on a regular basis, that we, you know, we keep our hands to ourselves. I will say that one of the things I am missing most is the ability to hug my friends. I am not necessarily a handshaker. I am a hugger. And I know that makes me sound a little bit like a earthy, crunchy hippie, but the truth of the matter is I hug my friends, I hug my business associates, because I think it's a way of showing complete trust. But I haven't been able to do that because it's not safe. So that's going to be part of my new normal. The thing that I'm going to have to pivot to. For years, I just relocated it. But for years, I had hanging on my wall a giant poster from Apple Computer of Jim Henson and Kermit. And it's a black and white photograph, and it said, "Think different." Now, despite the fact that it was grammatically incorrect, which was always sort of like nails on a chalkboard for me, the idea of thinking different was something that has inspired me forever. And that's really what I'm talking about when I say don't panic, pivot. Take all of the energy that you would put into worrying about what's going to happen, what has to happen, what hasn't happened, what the government is going to do about this. Take all of that energy and focus it into how can you pivot? How can you redirect what's going on in your life? Now, yes, that redirection may be taking advantage of some of the government programs. It may be making certain that you file for unemployment. It may be pivoting in a way that you decide to apply for jobs. I'm fine with that. I'm not saying, you know, let's just all be earthy crunchy and not think about the practicality of it. But I think that for our own sanity and for our own professionalism, and certainly if you are a creative kind of person like I am, you've got to give yourself some sort of purpose, some sort of focus. And it can't be the old way. And, you know, you can lament all you want about, gosh, I wish this wouldn't have happened. I wish this hadn't happened. Well, yeah, we're all kind of there. You know, everybody kind of wishes it didn't happen, but it did. And we can't really control those things that happen to us. However, we can control our attitude and our actions moving forward from them. So let's kind of break apart this don't panic, just pivot concept and mentality, because I think it works on a bunch of different levels. The first thing I think you have to look at is whether you're looking at your business or your life is, are there new ways of doing things? You know, are there new ways of accomplishing stuff that you need to accomplish? And let's think about it, you know, from a business standpoint, first off, I think the first thing you have to do is to sort of look at defining your must-haves. You know, what is it that we absolutely must have? And I'm going to caution you, because when you're going through this exercise, and maybe you go through it, you know, online virtually with your team, but when you're going through this exercise, identify what you must have now. Not what you thought you had to have before, but be realistic and be honest about, based on where we are now, what do we have to have? And that may mean you readdress the things that you thought you had to have. You know, you may say, well, our company has to have a fleet of, you know, 5 different vehicles that we can use for outreach and promotion for our haunted attraction. Well, okay. In reality, you're probably going to be doing less outreach. So chances are good you don't need 5 vehicles. You may not need any. And then you can reallocate that funding and that insurance and all of that into other things. The example that comes to my mind first is way back in the dark ages when I was a supervisor at Busch Gardens in Tampa, I did the schedules for the strolling street performers. And there were only somewhere between 5 and 8 of us at any given time. But they covered multiple different kinds of shows, and they all had their own special needs and requests. And if you were doing one show, you couldn't do the other show. But if you were doing one of the shows, you might be able to do afternoon shows. I mean, there's a lot of variables. So the way I would look at these schedules, because again, it was a kind of a creative exercise for me as well. The way I would look at these schedules, I would plug in the must-haves. I know that employee A and employee B have requested days off. I know that employee C is a part-timer and only works 3 days a week. So I would plug in actually the days off or the requested days or the specific shows that people had to do. Like I know that one of my employees, for example, is only approved to do one of the five different shows. So I know that that's where they have to go. I'm just going to plug in all the must-haves. And then my job was to creatively fill in everything around it. And I think we can do that same thing on a much more complex scale. I understand that. And the thing I understand even more is to reassess and reevaluate the must-haves as you're trying to pivot is not easy. It means that you're going to have to let go of those things that you truly thought were essential and ask yourself and your team, are they still essential? And are there not things that are more essential? You know, an example in my mind is, you know, there was a time where Attraction said we have to have printed tickets. We have to make certain that all of our guests have a printed ticket. That way we can document there's nobody sneaking in. Well, now I would say give up printed tickets and say we have to have hand sanitizer because I think that that is going to be something that we're going to need to pivot to. So I think that by identifying those challenges and those must-haves that address the new, whatever the new normal is going to be or whatever the new normal is going to be for you and your organization is essential in being able to pivot to taking your energy and focusing into what can I do. The other thing to keep in mind is as you rethink the way you do things, don't just look forward, look backward. Were there ways that you used to do things that stopped working because something changed but might be more useful looking forward? You should never ever use the excuse, well, we tried that before and it didn't work. Well, you know what? Things are going to be different now and things are going to be very different. I was having a conversation with another consultant like me the other day, and he used the phrase, well, based on conventional wisdom, and then we both kind of stopped and giggled, and we said, well, there really is no conventional wisdom, because with the entertainment industry at the moment, there's a possibility that it's going to dry up for 3 years because people are just going to be scared to come out. Or there's a possibility that once everybody says, okay, it's safe enough to come out and gather again, that there's going to be this huge influx and we're going to have huge boon years of people coming out willing to spend time and money on social activities. So who knows? We just don't know that yet. But again, look back at the way we used to do things. You know, do we make reservations? Do we go to a timed ticketing system? I think that there's been a lot of talk about that. It came up several times on the panels earlier today, and I've seen it posted on a lot of social media. Time ticketing is a great way to control crowds. It's a great way to make certain that there aren't more people in your haunted attraction than should be. Maybe we start looking at things like, all the tenets that we've always said, this is what a haunt has. This is how we do a haunt. Well, let's rethink that. And let's put in our must-haves. You know, one of the must-haves may be we can't have anything that guests push their face on. So maybe this is the year, and I think I said this in the last episode, this is the year to put the squeeze tunnel, you know, to put the claustrophobia tunnel away for a while. Not to say that we can't bring it back, but, maybe that's one of the things that we think about differently. I had a situation in my career where I had to do this once before, and it was back in the days of Howl-O Scream. We had 1 year of the Howl-O Scream event at Busch Gardens in Tampa where, as with all events, they ebb and flow in their popularity and in their financial growth. and we had had an ebbing year the year before, and there was discussion about, well, gosh, we can't let this trend continue, so we're going to reduce our upfront spend, but we're going to do the same quality and the same size event, which, of course, my team immediately laughed and said, that's not possible. But then we sat down and I said, no, wait a minute, let's go through a concerted effort here. Let's not talk about what we can't do, let's talk about what we can do. So a couple of the things that we did that particular year is, instead of doing individual scare zones, we said, well, why don't we make the whole park a scare zone? And there were several zombie movies and zombie graphic novels and that sort of thing that had become very, very popular. So instead of doing individual scare zones or outdoor areas within the theme park, we took all of that labor, reduced it slightly, and said, we're going to create these roaming hordes of zombies. Yes, there's a D in that word. The roaming hordes of zombies. And we are going to put them out into the park. Now, we knew exactly where they were, but the guests didn't. So what this meant was we took the entire theme park and said, this is one giant scare zone. We even changed the announcements within the park saying that zombies had taken over. We also had to create a new haunted house. We had to create a new haunt, and we had no budget to do it because, again, the upfront spend was cut. So a brilliant man and very dear friend, a guy by the name of Claude Smith, and I sat down and said, all right, let's go to our warehouse. Let's look at the assets that we have and how can we slap them together into something that makes sense. And we created Zombie Containment Unit. And the Zombie Containment Unit haunted attraction, we did invest some money in laser rifles, laser tag rifles. And then all of our scenic came out of the warehouse. And we had to figure out a story that would tie all of this, in essence, old pieces together. So Zombie Containment Unit was set in a recycling plant. So we found ways to utilize what we had to meet what our new criteria was. And when the upfront capital spend and the upfront installation spend is reduced, we had to do that. Well, the same is true now. You know, we're going to have to reevaluate based on the time that we are losing over the summer to install. And hopefully we're not losing it. You know, hopefully independent haunts are out there going out by themselves in your garage, in the haunt that you have, building all of your stuff now because you got the time to do it because your day job is not pulling you away from it. Or you're learning something new about a ticketing system, or you're learning about a new marketing system. I will say that one of the things that did come up right now, and this is another opportunity to pivot, is take this time to continue making your brand continue making your brand pretty much an everyday word. Make it part of, you know, reach out, not just to say, hey, we're coming back, hey, we're doing this. No, reach out and provide fun stuff. You know, that's what a lot of the theme parks, zoos, aquariums are doing right now. The Florida Aquarium here in Tampa, for example, is doing they call it C-SPAN, S-E-A SPAN, and it's online programming at 10 a.m. It's either every day or every other day, and because they have to be there to take care of the animals anyway, they're sharing that with the guests, and they're sharing specific things with the guests so that they get a chance to continue to remember the cool things about the aquarium. I think you can do that with your haunts as well. Continue to keep that brand awareness going, and not just to generate revenue. You know, it's marketing time, folks. So get out there and make sure you're doing that. That's a new way of thinking. You know, it's a pivot because, again, so often we don't even think about marketing until August. And here we are approaching April when this is recorded. And so now is the time to focus on that and continue to make your clientele, your built-up clientele, feel like they're special. You haven't forgotten them, because they're going to be going through panic as well. So And that's kind of a nice little lead-in to another kind of pivot that I'd like to talk about, and that is pivoting your business model. Marketing, obviously, you know, starting your marketing earlier is one pivot, one sort of change. And you have to, in order to do this, I think you have to look at what are your short-term goals and what are your long-term goals. And short-term goals can contribute to the long-term goals, but maybe not. Maybe they're just things that we're going to work on this goal for the next 2 months, and then we're going to accomplish it and move on. Again, that's going to be individualized, but just rethink what that means. You know, now is the time to build relationships. Now is the time to, especially if you're a vendor selling a product, or one of the things that came up in our vendor panel today that I thought was key and very interesting was the vendors and the clients, the vendors and the customers really need each other to survive. So if you are a vendor, reach out and try to help your client. You know, reach out and find ways that you can maybe do something that you never get paid for, just so that they like you, so that when they have the money and the desire to buy your product, then you're the first person they call. If you are a consumer, if you are a customer and you've got a limited budget, don't be afraid to ask your vendor, hey, you know, we didn't do any trade shows this year because they didn't exist. There are several online trade shows that are happening now, which you, of course, can find. But we didn't get any show specials, quote unquote. So here's what we have. Here's what we need. Can we work a deal? Because the absolute worst thing that the vendor is going to say is, no, sorry, can't make that happen. So reach out. Reach out and see if you can create a win-win scenario there. And again, that's a different way of pivoting your business model. Taking the time to build relationships right now, I think is essential, because we're all going to need help coming up. And if you're looking at sponsorship, for example, for your haunt, now is the time to reach out and say, you know what, when this is all over, or when this has changed, when we get back to whatever the normal is going to be, then, you know, pizza place or soda distributor or whatever, how can we work together to either sell more cans of soda and simultaneously get more people clicking through my gates? Build those relationships now, have those plans, because nobody knows where this is going to go. So you may have to pivot two or three times before you actually come to where you land. Then the other thing that I think people need to recognize is you may need to pivot your career choice. And I think this is the scary part, because I know that, you know, the moment jobs are posted online that 10,000 people are applying for them. I know that here in Florida, the unemployment offices are being overwhelmed with applications now, because again, with SeaWorld, and I'm sure that the other theme parks here in Florida are going to follow suit in some form or another. So you may decide, you know what, I need to change my career. But if you're going to do that, here's a couple things to consider. Look at, based on what the new normal is, what is needed now. And then go back and look at and say, what skills do I have that fit those needs? This is the way new jobs have been created over and over and over again. I think that, you know, a perfect example that I think came out of other challenges in our world, things like life coach. You know, when I was a kid, there was no such thing as a life coach. When I was a kid, you know, you talk to your friends, and I know I sound like the old guy, but I think life coach is a very valid career choice now, if you take it seriously and you actually are able to help people. But again, it's a job that came about out of need. I think we're discovering right now that things like Zoom are essential. You know, they're actually making a ton of money because people need them right now. That's something that there is a need, and they had the assets and the programming to make that happen. And yes, I know that started before COVID-19, but I will be honest, I was never required to attend one of those meetings from any of my clients before. We would either do it on the phone or I'd go in. But now that we're doing it virtually, it's becoming kind of the new normal. So, you know, one of the things I was thinking about is I had several people comment and compliment me on the way I was able to facilitate a panel. Maybe my next career would be Zoom facilitator. You know, people could actually hire me because that is a skill set that may be worth something to large corporations. If there's anybody out there who just doesn't like to run their Zoom meetings, you know, contact me. I got some time. So, but I mean, that's just, I know that sounds like a silly example, but even the silliest examples can become the most profound jobs. I think that everybody who has been in the haunted attraction industry has had to sell their haunted attraction at some point in time or another. And I don't mean sell it as, you know, here, please buy my haunted attraction because I'm going under. I mean, making certain that people know how cool it is, how scary it is, how important it is. So, you know, maybe you want to look into things like, is it time for me to focus more energy in my, in a sales career, in a real estate career, or in a human resources career? I mean, let's face it, if you've ever worked a haunted attraction, and I know if you've ever worked a haunted attraction in a theme park, you can handle customer relations like nobody's business. You know, the hardest thing in the world is one moment to handle an irate actor who somebody accidentally punched in the face as they were going through the haunt, and then the next moment handle a drunk college guy, and 15 minutes later handling a 12-year-old who's terrified and wants to leave. You know, we learn how to handle customers very, very quickly, very, very calmly, and usually very, very effectively. So it may be a time for you to pivot your career. And don't be afraid of that. You know, don't be afraid of saying, I've decided that I'm going to, based on my needs, leave the entertainment industry and pivot to a sales-based thing. You know, you can always do it as a hobby. And very little is permanent these days. So just be willing to make those kinds of decisions based on the needs of you and your family. I think the most important thing we can do, however, is pivot our mindset. I think that we have to, again, going back to the Apple Think Different poster, I think we have to shift why we do things. You know, I, as a consultant, I have constantly been looking at how do I monetize this? You know, if I do this, I don't want to give away my skills, and I still think that professionals should be paid. I do believe that. I still think that creatives who write things should be paid, just like I think actors, musicians, scenic designers, lighting designers, costume designers, all should be compensated for the work that they do. However, in this particular environment, I have not stopped working, but I'm just not getting paid as much for it. And I know there are those out there who would argue and say, well, Scott, if you continue to give it away, then you're undervaluing what you do. At the same time, I am building those relationships and showing people what I can do so that when the time comes that they're ready to seriously do something, then hopefully I will be their first choice. Let me give you a very specific example. I am currently in negotiation now with a local theater company, because let's face it, all the theater companies are hurting because they've had their doors closed and will continue to have their doors closed. And some of them are starting to do live streaming shows. And I'm in negotiation right now with one of the theater companies to potentially do a live streaming one-man show that I opened last year at a fringe festival and do it as a benefit for this theater company. And I'm not going to earn a dime, but I promise you that the next time the artistic director of this theater company needs something that I can do for them, I will at least be, I will at least have a foot in the door. The stuff that I'm doing, you know, even recording this podcast, this takes time to plan and edit and record, and it really generates zero revenue. And honestly, I'm okay with that because it's keeping me working. It's keeping me focused. It's making me feel as though I'm continuing to contribute. And I have to believe, and I do believe, that in doing that, you're basically showing, you know what, I can do all of these things. I'm continuing to grow my skill set, and that will make me far more viable to people who want to hire my work. Again, I don't claim to be the complete expert. That's my opinion. That's the way I'm going to choose to do things, and it has worked for me in the past. In a corporate environment, I used to say, do the job you want, and eventually they'll start paying you for it. And that's exactly what happened. That's how I moved up within the theme park industry so very quickly. That's how I was able to become an independent contractor and immediately have clients, because I had built and shown my worth. And that's why people just, you know, randomly call me and say, hey, I got this crazy project. I'm usually the crazy project guy. So I got this crazy project. Maybe you'd be interested. So I just haven't stopped doing the work. I do still have clients that are paying me. I am still working on specific projects that were in line before, but I have other projects that have been moved later that have been canceled. And I know that everybody in the industry has that. So again, think differently, figure out what it is that's going to be right for you, what you want to do and what you can do. And people are like, well, I don't want to contribute all of my work for free for the rest of my life. That's the joy about pivoting. You can always pivot back. As long as you keep, you know, if you think about a pivot, it has a central fulcrum. It has a focal point, and everything turns around it. So as long as you stay grounded in the middle, you can pivot for a while, and then you can pivot back. I mean, let's be honest, folks. Nothing is forever. Changes, even really big ones, are temporary. They are temporary. And, you know, I don't talk a ton about this, but I did when it first happened, and I really don't much anymore. But I went through a major, major change when I left the corporate world, when I left working in theme park, because my position was eliminated. And I pivoted within 3 days to deciding I want to work for myself. And my thought was, well, if this is probably going to last maybe a year or two, and then I'll want to go and work for another company. That was 6 years ago, and I still haven't decided, you know, I still haven't found a company that I want to commit my full time to. Because right now, the company that I commit my full time to is the company that I own. So I pivoted my mindset with the understanding that I could always pivot back. And I thought my original choice to work in a theme park was going to be a life choice. You know, I was there for 22 years, a little over 22 years. And I thought that was where I was going to retire. So had I not, you know, I could have just sort of shut down after that all went away, but I didn't. I pivoted. And I think this is another opportunity for people to do the same thing. Yes, it's a completely different environment now. There are completely different factors involved, but it's the same mindset. It is exactly the same mindset. And by taking control again, you feel better, you continue to move forward. And let's be honest, how many haunters out there actually do it because I want to become a multimillionaire haunted attraction owner, or even more ridiculous, I want to become a multimillionaire haunt actor. That is not going to happen. Sorry. You do it because you love it. So don't let the fact that the world is changing take that away from you. But do what you love in a way that allows you to continue to do what you love. Make it so that it's sustainable for you. And if that means that you're going to have a day job and then you come in and are a haunt actor at night or take tickets at a haunted attraction or build scenic or put on makeup or whatever, great, do it. If you can find a way to sustain it by making it your full-time job, great, do it. But pivot, be flexible, because that is really, I think, the only way we're going to retain our sanity and really anything about the industry as a whole. I started this way and I'm going to end this way. My heart goes out to all of us who are having to readjust, to all of us who are having to rethink and to pivot how we do things, how we think about things, and how the industry has changed. But there are gobs of people out there who are offering alternatives. Be open to them. Don't be set in your ways. Recognize it's never going to go back to the way it always was. And you can mourn its loss for about 20 minutes and then move on and recognize, gosh, this is a whole new opportunity. This gives us a chance to think about things in a completely different way. It gives us the chance to not panic, but to pivot. So normally at the end of my shows, I put out this whole long self-promotional thing about where I'm going to be and if you want to see me and blah, 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 blah. I'll be online. I've got a lot of virtual things coming up. I will be teaching a class and doing a reading from my new book, Awake in the Dark, sometime next weekend, which would be April, what is that? April 2nd and 3rd. Let me double check that on my calendar. I should have looked that up before I started doing this. Sorry, April 4th and 5th. April 4th and 5th, I will be part of HauntCon Connect, and I'll be teaching a seminar on actors in the new world, actors after the plague. And then, like I said, I'll be doing readings from Awake in the Dark. I am also doing what I call a virtual book signing. And if you purchase any of my books, whether it's any of the poetry books or Follow the Story or whatever, purchase any of them online, send me a photo or some copy of the receipt, and you can just email it to me. And in that email, include your snail mail address. And what I will do until the end of April is I will sign a book plate or a sticker that I will send to you, and you can put in the front of the book so you automatically have an autographed copy. Right now, the book that I'm really excited about is the book called Awake in the Dark. It is dark poetry and prose. It's great for reading to each other by flashlight, and it's also illustrated with a whole bunch of paintings that I've done. So if you're interested in the books, go to scottswenson.com/books. Pretty clever, eh? And I'm also doing an awful lot of painting. I'm so glad that I've got the extra time to do painting, because that's something that I love to do. And you can also see some of my paintings on the website at scottswenson.com/art. So check those out. Let me know what you think. Continue to make your comments on the Facebook group. If you are not a member of the Facebook group, just search A Scott in the Dark and the group should come up. Or find somebody you know and say, hey, where is it? And I will continue to listen to what you guys are saying and what you guys are offering. And I just, I'm so happy that our industry has continued to support itself and hopefully will continue to support each other. Until next time, this is Scott Swenson from A Scott in the Dark saying not only don't panic, just pivot, but also saying rest in peace.